You can read the next few verses. Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to continue on with our travels of Paul as we read Acts 18, 9 through 17. Paul, if you remember from earlier in the service, had gotten kicked out of Athens. He's now in Corinth, this hotbed of sailors and merchants and Greeks and Jews and government officials and stuff like that. And I'm sure if I was in that position, I'd be saying, oh, I need direction right now from the Lord to tell me what to do next. So I will continue in the reading. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid, he said. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I am with you. No one will attack you and harm you. I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, and he taught them God's word. Now at that time, Gallio was governor of Achaia. The Jews of Corinth got together and attacked Paul, and they brought him into court, and they made a charge against Paul. And they said, now they're talking to Gallio, who's the governor, they said, this man is talking people into worshiping God in the wrong ways. Those ways are against the law. Now, Paul was about to give reasons for his actions. But then Gallio spoke to them and he said, you Jews don't claim that Paul has committed a great or small crime. If you did, it would make sense for me to listen to you. But this is about your own law. It is a question of words and names. Settle this matter amongst yourselves. I will not be judge of such things. So he made them leave. Then the crowd there turned against the Sothenes, who was the synagogue leader, and they beat him up in front of the governor. But Gallio didn't care at all. This was actually an asset for Paul and his ministry. So this is the word of God. Be it in your hearts. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. You know, as you see the title of the message this morning, you can see that Paul and the Christians, the early Christians, are meeting resistance, aren't they? Almost everywhere they go, something happens. Have you ever asked yourself, sometimes anyway, why is life so hard? Why sometimes is life so hard? I'm trying to do the right thing and it seems like I'm going against the flow. Wouldn't it be much easier to just go with the flow? But it seems the world's against me. The powers that be aren't in line with me. But I want to say something real quick about that, and it's this. If I and you are in line with Christ, we'll meet resistance. All right? If you and I are in line with Christ, we will meet resistance. In this text this morning, it starts out with Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla met resistance. They left Rome because the Jews were ordered to leave, because they were creating problems. And they had to reestablish themselves elsewhere, which is where Paul is now. Corinth. They met resistance. These were Christians meeting resistance. The first two verses. We go on in the text and we see that here is someone else meeting resistance. Paul was opposed by the Jews. They became abusive. They wouldn't listen to his reasoning. And things were getting more and more difficult for Paul and the disciples. You see, as you go through the book of Acts, there's some beautiful things that go on in the early church and how it exploded. You know how the early church exploded? We talked about this many, many, many weeks ago. Through persecution. How did the gospel of Jesus Christ leave Jerusalem? Well, they were forced to leave Jerusalem and the gospel went elsewhere because of persecution. sometimes when you address those in the persecuted church around the world, many times they'll say, when you ask them what to pray for, they say, don't pray that the persecution would stop. Pray that the gospel will go forth. It's not the persecution they're concerned about. It's the gospel that they are concerned about. And here is what Paul is concerned about. Aquila is concerned about. The gospel of Jesus Christ. They want it to continue to move forward and more people to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if there is resistance. You know, when you and I are doing what we're supposed to do, you know what the enemy does? He works harder at messing with us. Let me say that again. When you and I are doing what we're supposed to do, the enemy will try harder to mess with us, to defeat us. That's what he'll do. Whether what we're going through in our life is something that is physical, maybe it's a health concern. The devil is working hard at bringing us down and giving us anxiety, doing whatever he can to destroy us. Or maybe it's a financial concern. The devil is working hard at saying it's all about financial security. But the Lord is telling us, no, it's really about your eternal security. You see, no matter what it is that's going on in our lives, the enemy, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in Christ, the enemy is going to try harder to defeat us. Like the little old lady in the church that I pastored in Indiana many, many years ago. We had, there was a bike gang that was having a meeting, and it happened to be a real satanic kind of bike gang that was meeting just down the road. And our little church there, Pleasant Grove was the name of the little church, Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. We were meeting and doing whatever we could. We were a small little church. We felt like we were a little insignificant church perhaps. But we were meeting in Bible study, and we were doing all these things, and this little old lady, when all these things started happening, she says, you know what? All these things that are happening to us, they're happening to us because we're doing something right. And I thought, you're right, Ruth. You're right. You're right. Here were Aquila and Paul. And what was going on was kind of a mess. The Jews were abusing them, and they were chasing them. And you know what happened? Here is when it started to really happen, and it continued to happen throughout the book of Acts and on into the church, is the church, if I say it, the Christians moved from the synagogue to the house churches. Because the Jews were not allowing them in the synagogues anymore. And I'm saying the Jewish leaders. You know, sometimes we don't give enough credit. Most of the early Christians were Jews. But the Jewish establishment said, we don't want you here anymore. We don't want you in the synagogues anymore because you're kind of upsetting the apple cart. We don't want you to mess with what we've got established here. And so they went to the house churches. And then from the house churches, you know what happened? Down the road, many, I don't know, centuries later, we have what we have here today. You know what? I'm not sure if what we have today with churches all over the place is the best of things. Because I think what God really intended was for us to continue to meet in our homes and continue to encourage each other in the faith. This isn't a bad thing. I love what we do here. Man, I love what we do here, and I love the church that we have here and the fellowship that we enjoy here and the worship that we enjoy here and all that stuff. But I'm not sure that that's necessarily what God really intended for the church. We should have just kept meeting all over the place and encouraging each other in the Christian faith. And instead, we come to this central spot. And what tends to happen is people come here and we worship here, and then we go and we do our own thing when we leave the rest of the week. I'm not sure if that's what really God intends for us. We should be worshiping Him all week and enjoying each other's company. So Paul left the Jews, and he says, now I'm going to go to the Gentiles. I praise God for that, too, because, you know, I'm one of those Gentiles that heard the good news of Jesus Christ and I became a believer. And I'm thankful for the Jews for that. I'm thankful for those who shared the good news of Jesus Christ with me so I too could partake in the goodness of God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. They went from the synagogue to the homes. Speaking the name of Jesus oftentimes, as we experience here and elsewhere in the early church, speaking the name of Jesus can sometimes be met with difficulty. Even in today's world, there are many who oppose those of us who speak the name of Jesus. Let that be your truth and let this be my truth. Everybody's got their own truth is what they'll say, you know. But if we're doing what we're called to do, the enemy is going to try harder to defeat us. Many oppose speaking the name of Jesus in our midst. God told Paul, like he's telling us, don't be silent, for I'm with you. Don't be silent, because I'm with you. In my Bible, it's red letters, because Jesus spoke it to them. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. So I encourage us to keep speaking the name of Jesus, because God is with us. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in anxiety. We don't have to live with all of that. For God is with us, just like God was with Paul. And as long as he has tasked us to do what he's called us to do, we're going to be okay. So he stayed for a year and a half, and he taught, and he discipled. I need to bring this to a conclusion here pretty soon, but I just want to share with you that it isn't easy, is it, being a Christian the way God's called us to be. We face resistance, and you know that resistance will never stop. But yet I want to bring up something else to you that we need to be reminded of. You know, God doesn't just use Christians. God used the courts. Look at this. God used the courts to help Paul. The secular courts to help Paul. You read throughout Scripture to see how God even used enemy kings in Israel's time to bring about his godly purposes, even if these enemy kings didn't even worship God. And how many times in the Old Testament he used not just his own chosen people, but when they were misbehaving and disobeying, oftentimes he would use others to bring about his purposes, not just his own. I'm encouraged by this, that God can use the church of Jesus Christ. God can use the people of God. And God can use people who are not to bring about his godly purposes. Because you know what? God's God. God is God, and I'm not. And God's ultimate will be done. I believe it, and in Jesus' name, I can guarantee it. God's will be done. I can rest in that. I don't have to be anxious in that. Earlier in Acts, the jail couldn't silence him. The jailers couldn't silence him, that is Paul. He broke loose out of that. Now the courts didn't silence him either. What's that mean for you and me? Resistance to the gospel has always been around us right from the beginning. But we are equipped to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's always been there for us, and God's going to be with us just like he was with Paul and all the others. God is at the helm, not you and me. So let's be faithful, because he is faithful. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are faithful. And thank you that you're in control. Because God, when I look at what's going on in the world today and I turn on the news on the television, I see what's going on, I can become very anxious. I can become fearful. I can become a person who seems to be kind of out of control. But I am reminded that God is God, that you are you. Your ultimate will is going to be done. Help me and my brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world be a part of your will being done, because you want to use us for your glorious purposes. Help us to be willing. Even if it means resistance, help us to be willing to do your work and your will. And we can glory ultimately in the end in your results. Because God, you've got it. And even when we read in the book of Revelations of some of the things that goes on in the book of Revelations, for the Christian, there is ultimate victory. Revelation is not a book that Christians should ever be fearful of, because we have victory in Revelation 2. So God, because of that, I can breathe a sigh of relief and say, God, you've got it. Bring me along for the ride. Use me and use us however you want us to be used. And we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.